The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path." John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." I invite you to be seated. Hey, Jarek, my mic's being funny, so I'm just going to use this mic for the sermon. All right. So I don't know about you, or how you like to recognize your fall holidays, but I'm what I might call a holiday individualist, which is to say that I'm of the opinion that every holiday deserves its own individual space and time, right? Halloween gets October, Thanksgiving gets November, and in the days after Thanksgiving, we finally get to recognize Advent. Right? Christmas will get its own time and place, I promise you, but these weeks are something different. Now, I know that I am in the cultural minority. I know that I've had conversations with people all across the country, many of you in this room, who want your Christmas trees up at Thanksgiving, who want to have Christmas music on the radio starting sometime in October or sometimes even July. And while I don't understand you, I do my best to respect our cultural differences because that's appropriate. But these weeks are set off to be something different. I'm even willing to acknowledge that in these post-Thanksgiving weeks, these weeks when we're leading up to this season of Christmas, culturally we're pretty much aware that everyone says Christmas is already here. That in fact, this is Christmas, and Christmas will end when the last store closes on December 24th. But within these walls, within this space, we know something different. We know that we have these weeks, these four Sundays, set apart as an opportunity for us to prepare, as an opportunity for us to wait, because Christmas is not yet here, and these weeks mean something different. Now, I'm not here to say that we need to take down all of our beautiful decorations and hide the Christmas tree and turn off the Christmas music until December 25th. Even for this holiday individualist, that would seem a bit extreme. But I do think we need to find a way to give Advent its own place and time, not just in our lives, but in our communal life of this season. Because when we don't, when we rush from Labor Day to Christmas, we miss the heart of this message, the heart of these Christmas promises that bring so much hope with them. Now, if you've been on Facebook this past week, you might have seen that we've been sharing some things that someone is calling tiny Advent poems, right? They're little three or four line poems that are kind of helping us think about what Advent means for us and for our lives. And there are a couple that I want to highlight for us this morning. This is the first one here. Advent is the hush in the theater between the house lights going down and the curtains going up. Advent is the turning off of the lights before you bring in the birthday cake. Advent, the conductor raises his baton and the choir takes a collective breath. Do you hear the importance of waiting and preparation that comes with these moments? Imagine sitting in the theater with the house lights still on and everyone still talking, and suddenly the curtain starts to rise. How would you be able to enjoy the show? Or imagine being part of that choir, knowing that the entire piece rests on you all taking that first breath together. Do you see the import that this carries? Do you see the call for waiting, for preparation? When we miss these weeks to prepare, when we miss these weeks to hold on to this moment, we miss out on the excitement of that darkened theater. We miss out on the energy of sitting at the table waiting for the cake. But it's in this space, in the darkened hush, in the glow of the candles, and in the collective breath that we find Advent. It's in this space that we find this holy reminder that we are called to wait, to remember that we are in fact not the ones in charge, and to prepare for God's ultimate promise that a Savior is coming into the world to save us from ourselves. Now, if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Gary share with us about the introduction to our theme, that we're getting in, sit down, hush up, and hold on, that this is what we're going to be hearing all through Advent on Sundays and on our Wednesday evenings. And today, we're particularly focusing on this idea of sitting down. Sit down. I'm sure that I'm not the only child that felt like that was the mantra of my parents' life. But here we are thinking to ourselves, what does this mean? Why do we need to take this moment to sit? Perhaps you're even reflecting right now, there's too much to do. I don't have time for that. And therein lies the reason that we are called back to this. To sit down again and again, because sitting down is that simple action that redirects our focus, that points us back to the promises, to the energy, to the excitement of that moment of waiting. In fact, sitting down is even this very physical notion of giving over our authority to someone else or something else. Every week, you all grace us with your presence and you sit in these pews, and by the very act of sitting, you acknowledge someone else is going to lead me through this worship for the next hour. Or every time you're told to get in and sit into the car, you're most likely not the person doing the driving. And so you're left up to whoever it is that's in charge to go wherever they want to go, however they want to go. You are out of control by the simple act of sitting down. And so sitting down is that promise that we want to explore. It's that hope and expectation that we long for. Sitting down is what directs us back to all of it. In fact, by the sheer notion of you being present with us in this space this morning, you're already well on your way to sitting down. But if your life is anything like mine, the moment that you walk out of these doors, the very notion of being able to sit down will be a hope and an expectation for some future version of ourselves, because right now there is far too much to do. And so instead of sitting, we find ourselves running. Running to the store, running to get the pictures taken and the cards in the mail, running to get to the school program and to the office party, running to get the tree up and the decorations out, the house cleaned, running to the airport and to the highway, running all over the place. And when we are running, we miss those moments to hear the collective breath, to experience the stillness of the hushed theater, to feel the anticipation of the darkened room waiting for the cake. When we run from place to place, we miss the good news of God's promise that a Savior is coming into the world. Now, John the Baptist was, in his own way, moving people through the very first Advent, we could say. He was not preaching before Jesus' birth, but he was proclaiming to this group of people to prepare themselves, to make room in their hearts and their lives, to repent, to sit down, and acknowledge that they are not in charge, to stop their running, and to sit. And so it's the same message that he begins to proclaim as the Sadducees and the Pharisees make their way out. And when they arrive, John has a particular message for them, which starts with my favorite biblical greeting of all time, "You brood of vipers." Try sending that on your Christmas cards sometime. See how that goes over. Nonetheless, here they come, "You brood of vipers." And John reminds them, do not assume that you can depend on saying you have Abraham as your ancestor. For God can raise up even from these stones descendants of Abraham. See, the cultural and the religious understanding of the time was that as long as I'm descended from Abraham, as long as I'm part of this tribe that we call the nation of Israel, then me and God, we're good. Sure, there are sacrifices and rituals that I'm supposed to do, but by and large, I can do those things. I can be in control of how I offer the sacrifice and how I do the ritual. I can maintain my own wellness. I can save myself. And so in the midst of that, to the very religious leaders who were purporting such an idea, John speaks these words, do not assume that being a descendant of Abraham is what matters. Because you see those stones? God can turn them into descendants of Abraham. Because that's not the thing. Instead, God is calling us back to know that we are not the ones in charge, to sit down, prepare our hearts for the one who is to come. I like to imagine that had they had cars at the time, John would have told them, you're not the ones in the driver's seat. Now, as a moment of true confession for you all here, I feel like I should admit that my greatest struggle in life is allowing someone else to drive me places. The fact of the matter is, I know where I'm going. I know how I want to get there. I know how fast I want to go on the way. I know when I want to brake and when I want to accelerate. I know how far I want to be behind the car in front of me. I don't need anyone else to tell me how to do that. I can drive myself. Thank you very much. And when it comes to my spiritual life, this is the equivalent of relying on Abraham as my ancestor, claiming that I know what's best, that I know how to get myself from here to there, that I can find the best route, the fastest route, I can take care of myself, I can save myself. Thank you very much. But when we are in this season of Advent, when we're hearing this reminder to sit down, we find ourselves in the passenger seat, and we're suddenly not in control. And we may find that we're driven to places we did not want to go, taking routes we never planned on taking. We might find that we're staying further behind the traffic than we'd like to be. We may find that we're even have the audacity to sit at a red light rather than taking the right turn to get around it. We find that we are not in control. And yet I hope this morning that you hear these words encouraging us to sit down as the gift that they are. I know that hearing me stand up here saying, sit down, take a break, prepare, wait, I know this sounds harsh. It may even feel like a burden. I know that many of you are already cataloging in your mind all the things that you have to do, trying to check off which things am I not going to be able to do so that I can sit down like Pastor David told me to. But I promise you, these words are meant to be a gift and not a burden. Because sitting down is a gift of the freedom that we have in Christ. Sitting down is the gift of realizing that we are not in control, so we can sit down. Because we don't have to be in charge. Because we don't have to sit in the driver's seat. Because it doesn't matter if we're a descendant of Abraham. Because other people's happiness does not depend on us. Because another one is coming into the world to set us free from all of the burdens that we carry. To baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. To save us from ourselves. My deepest prayer is that this morning you hear these words from John and from myself as the gift that they are. To sit down and not be in charge. Now these words, this gift, I should warn you, is not a gift that comes without a few strings. It's not to say that it's particularly complicated, but this is a gift that requires of us that we practice a skill. Imagine with me for a moment waking up on Christmas morning and to your horror finding a set of juggling balls underneath the tree. And suddenly you're forced to realize that if I'm going to use this gift the way it was intended, I have to learn how to juggle. I have to spend hours and hours practicing so that I can use this gift in the best way possible. Friends, this gift of sitting down is not unlike those juggling balls. Except in the end, you have a much more practical skill than juggling. Because this gift requires us to practice giving up control. To practice sitting down and waiting and preparing. To practice not being in the driver's seat. And so it is absolutely a gift. But it's a gift that moves us to learn a new and sometimes difficult skill. And so this morning we're going to end this time together with a little practice. Because how can we do this if we don't take time to practice with one another? And my hope was that we could bring in a giant birthday cake and dim the lights and we'd be able to do that. But alas, I don't have enough birthday cake and it's hard to dim lights when you've got beautiful windows to the outside. And tragically, we don't have a giant theater curtain for me to raise. So I'm left with this lovely conductor's baton that I borrowed from Dan. And we are together going to practice taking that collective breath. And so for a moment, I know it's going to be a stretch, but we're going to pretend that I'm the conductor, the maestro, if you will, and you all are our choir. And in a moment, I'm going to raise this baton, and when I do, we're going to take that breath together. And we're going to feel that Advent gift filling our lungs, filling our space. So in this moment right now, I want you to just mentally gather all the stuff that's in your head. Whatever it is that's on your to-do list, whatever it is that's on your to-get list, whatever it is that's swirling through your mind at this moment, gather it all up. And in a moment, when I raise this baton, we'll breathe together. And as you feel that breath filling your lungs, as you hear that breath filling your ears, hold that breath. And cling to that promise that a Savior is coming into the world to save us from ourselves. Everybody ready? God loves each of you, and I do too.